I've mentioned to you before my affection for older people. I've always, I guess, started with my grandparents, but even the older people in the church and the things they taught me and the wisdom that they have to share. And I just think it's such a good resource that sometimes we kind of write it off, and we shouldn't do that. I had a lady in my former church. Her name was Helen. She was a big IU fan. And I want to begin this message talking about her. But let's read our scripture first, and we'll pray, and then we'll get to Helen. Exodus 3. You may wonder why this is in the Twilight Zone series, but hang with me. It should be there. This is the Lord talking to Moses. "But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go." Look at that first verse again. That's my key verse. "But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him." Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your church, for the worship this morning, and appreciate everybody being here. Just so good to come together in this way. Help me to share with these dear folk what needs to be shared from your word today. Make us all better from having been here together today. In Jesus' name, amen. Helen was just a dear, dear older lady in my church. She was funny. I heard her ask another elderly church lady if she knew the secret to having a smoking hot body in your old age. And the other lady said, "No, what is it?" And Helen said, "Cremation." That's Helen. She was just so funny, and it always encouraged me and always had things that she wanted me to read or share with me. So her family calls me. She had cancer, and she had hospice, and they called me. She was 92 at the time, and she called me. She didn't call me. The family called and said, "Could you come talk to Helen about heaven and pray with her and just encourage her?" I said, "Absolutely, I'll be right there." Happened to be the night that IU and Purdue were going to play basketball. And Helen is a big IU fan, just like me. So I taped the game, and I thought, I bet if there's any way possible, she's watching it. So I get there, and she's all propped up in a chair and pillows, and hospice nurses are there. She's got the game on. She's got her IU sweatshirt on. And I walked in, and I said, "Helen, I said, your family wanted me to come. I want to talk to you about heaven. I want to pray with you and share some things." And she said, and I quote, "Can it wait till halftime?" When you're 92, you can set your own schedule. How about that? So it did wait till halftime. So I sat there, and we both yelled at the refs and did all that kind of stuff and watched the game. And when the game was over, I said, "I want to pray with you, Helen." I started to pray, and I felt her tugging at my hand. She said, "Aren't you going to hold my hand?" And I said, "Well, you're holding a picture." Had a picture of her grandkids. And she said, "Well, that's why God gave me two hands." And she reached out, and I held her hand. And we prayed. She said something to me then that nobody else has ever said to me before. And I got to thinking about it. What exactly does that mean? This would have been 1985. So I would have been 24 years old. And she said, "Mark, God has his hand on you." Okay. Now, remember the story we read about that hand that appeared and wrote that warning on the wall? No body, just a hand. I ain't sure I want that hand on me. I didn't know what she meant. And she said it. And now through the years, I have come to discover that she was right. But God has his hand on you too. And God had his hand on her. We'll teach you some sign language. This will be our 3 points today, 3-point sermon, all right? Sign language. God's hands do this. Do this, everybody. Get your hands up. Some of you have to put your coffee down. Come on now. That's provide. God's hands are provision. God's hands do this. Everybody do that. That's pruning, because God's hands prune also. He's like a gardener. And then God's hands do this. Everybody do that. Protect. God stops things from coming into my life that might harm me. There are probably things I don't even know about that he stopped in their tracks, because God's hands are provision, God's hands are pruning, and God's hands protect. Now, I looked up the hands of God in the Bible. 120 verses to the hands of God. Check just a few of them out. 1 Peter 5, 6. Humble yourself. There we go. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Isaiah 41, 10. Fear not, for I am with you. I will give you strength. I will help you. I will hold you up with my right hand. Isaiah 48, 13. The hand laid the foundation, my hand laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens. Psalm 89, 13. You have a mighty arm, strong as your hand, high is your right hand. Jeremiah 18, 6. Behold, like clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. In Revelation 8, 34, Christ Jesus is the one who died, who was raised. That ain't right. Revelation 1, 17. When I saw the Lord, I fell at his side as though dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. Now, for all of you deeply spiritual, theological people who want to debate everything, I will not debate with you whether or not God has physical hands. Because to have that debate is to miss the point where God wants us to view him as having hands that hold us and protect us and prune us. The Bible tells me that God has a mind. He thinks about us. That God has a heart. He loves us. And the Bible tells me that he has hands. I'm not going to argue. He has hands, and they are mighty. And they provide, and they prune, and they protect. I noticed in my research that God is right-handed. Did you notice that? How cool is that? So how many of you are left-handed? Let me see your hands. Hold them up. How many of you are like me and God and are right-handed? That's right. I love this subject, the hand of God. And this right-hand reference is fascinating to me also. It reminded me, a wife asked her husband a tricky question, and a few wives have ever asked your husband this. I don't know what answer you're expecting, but she asked him if she were to die, would he remarry? And he said, no, I don't think so. And she said, come on, you can be honest. He said, okay, yeah, probably. He should have stuck with his first answer because that brought all kinds of questions. So you let some other woman live in this house? He said, I think so. It's a nice house. You let her sleep in the bed where we slept? Well, yeah, I'd say that bed's got several more years. It's a good bed. Well, at least promise me you'll never let her use my golf clubs. He said, I promise she will never use your golf clubs. He said, she's left-handed. Well, I won't debate whether God's right-handed or not, but I'll tell you this. His hand is provision, his hand is pruning, his hand is protection. Let's take them one at a time. All over the story of Moses and God's children is this hand of provision. This hand right here. Everybody do it. What did he provide in this story? He provided the deliverer, right? He provided the deliverer. He provided the plagues. He provided an escape route out of Egypt through the Red Sea on dry ground. He provided food in the wilderness when all they did was complain. He provided a land flowing with milk and honey. His hand of provision is all over this story. And guess what? It's all over your story, too. It's all over my story, too. My theme song through the years has become this great hymn. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. How about this verse? All I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. There's a verse tucked away in the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy that we don't talk about. We should because it's phenomenal. Deuteronomy 30, verse 8, 9 says, the Lord will again take delight in prospering you. Now think about that for a minute. He takes delight in prospering us. That means he enjoys prospering us. The simple definition to this would be that God really enjoys blessing his children. Now how cool is that? And he enjoys blessing his children regardless of their response to his blessing. Think about that. The delight comes from him prospering us because he loves us, has nothing to do with our reaction to it. So when you whine about it and complain about it and act as if God's not done anything for you, that doesn't affect the fact that he still takes delight in bringing good things into your life. Now, if it were me blessing you, and you whined about it and complained about it and acted like God never done it. If it were me, I would not take delight in prospering you. I'd shortly grow weary of it. I'll give you an example. Let's use one of my favorite things, Girl Scout cookies. Let's say a Girl Scout comes to your door and you say to that sweet kid, as soon as you open the door, "Oh, it's you again? It's that time of year again? Everybody always wanting something from me. Those cookies cost too much. They ain't any good anyway. I can't believe you're knocking on my door again. Okay, I'll buy one box. Here's the money. Don't come back." And she leaves. She runs to the minivan, tells her mom, "I'm never selling Girl Scout cookies again." That ain't what happens when she comes to my house. She knocks on my door. I open the door. "Oh, Girl Scout cookie time again." I said, "That's great. I love the thin mints. Put them thin mints in the refrigerator or the freezer. Those are good. How much are they?" "Only $20 for 3 cookies. That's great." "I mean, that's wonderful. Just give me 12 boxes and I'll just have a box a month till I get to see you next year." She'll leave my house all fired up, ready to sell to the world. Now again, if God delights in providing for us, that means his delight has nothing to do with our appreciation or lack thereof. Let that sink in. What brings him delight is just in the action of him providing. That's how much he loves us. God's hand is provision. Here's another thought. God's hand is, I feel like Edward Scissorhands. God's hand is pruning. While God's hand provides, there's a real sense in which God is like a gardener cutting things out of my life that are keeping me from a deeper relationship with him. This is why we need to reject the common thought that if things are going good in your life, that means you're squarely in the will of God, and if things are going bad, that means you're outside of the will of God. That's not true at all. Remember the Old Testament character named Job? And there's a phrase that goes unchallenged in the church, and I'm going to challenge it this morning, and I'll do so in love. If you say this phrase, I want to challenge you to change the way you say it, because it ain't biblical, it ain't right, and it ain't very comforting. And the phrase is this: God will never give me more than I can handle. Can't tell you how many times through the years in church I've heard people say that. I would like for some of you second service Bible scholars to tell me where I can look that verse up. I will pause and wait, because I've been waiting for years for somebody to tell me where to find that. And don't give me 1 Corinthians 13. "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but with the temptation he provides a way of escape that you may be able to endure." That's not talking about that. So where is the verse that says God will never give us more than we can handle? I'll tell you where I found it. It's found in 2 Delusions. That's where it's found. 2 Delusions chapter, "You're out of your mind," verse, "You're never going to find it." I don't know what your world is like, but the people in my world are giving more than they can handle all the time. We need to say it differently. We need to say it biblically. We need to say it right. I will never be given more than God can handle. Amen. Say it that way, because that's true. Adversity reveals in us abilities that would remain dormant without the adversity. God uses things, people, situations. My parents drilled into me Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful." Yep. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and a peace for those who've been trained by it. Now, I know this puts me out of step with the culture that I live in, but I still believe in firm discipline. I do. And in this age of timeout, rather than a hefty pat on the rump, that kind of discipline seems archaic. Well, I can't speak for everyone, so I'll just give you a personal testimony. Here I stand in front of you today, almost 61 years old, and I have a sense of responsibility, I have a regard for the truth, I have a patriotism as a citizen of this country, and an appreciation of the results of tough love because of the firm hand of discipline shown to me by my parents. My God has a right hand. Well, my dad did too. And not just my parents, my grandparents, my teachers, my coaches, my Sunday school teachers. And it's amazing how some can conclude that somehow we have progressed as a society because we've done away with that kind of firm discipline. You have to have a brain the size of a chipmunk's lunch to think things are better now than they used to be. It leads me to wonder if things wouldn't be better now at school, at home, if that firm discipline could still be applied. Firm hand of discipline. It's one of my favorite poems. Junior bit the meter man and Junior kicked the cook. Junior's antisocial now, according to the book. Junior smacked the clock and lamp. Junior hacked the tree. Destructive trends are treated in chapters 2 and 3. Junior threw his milk at mom. Junior screamed for more. Notes on self-assertiveness are found in chapter 4. Junior tossed his shoes and socks out into the rain. That's completely normal. Disregard the stain. Junior got in grandpa's room, tore up his fishing line. That's to gain attention. See page 89. Grandpa took his belt off, yanked Junior across his knee because grandpa hadn't read a book since 1893. My mom and my dad had a pretty firm hand, and they always made it biblical. You can appreciate that about my dad. He would say, son, let me introduce your seat of knowledge to my right hand of fellowship. They've been creative through the years in the tools that they use to discipline their children. If they were on Dr. Phil today and confessed to all that they had done, they'd be led off to jail immediately. How many of you had to cut your own switch? Let me see your hands. Yeah, that's the hands I would have expected right there, too. Fly swatters. Yardsticks. Belts. And then my mom veered off the normal path. Crutches. One time she hit me in the head with a pound of frozen bologna. To, in her words, knock some sense into me. And I know you, this has to be universal. You all have had to hear this more than once, too. She would use that classic line, right? This will hurt me. What a lie that was. I was the only one crying. And then my mom would say, you keep crying and I'll. That's right. Then she would say, don't talk back to me, young man. I'll slap your face off. And I would be thinking, please do. You won't recognize me next time you're coming at me. Well, you keep that up, I'll slap you silly. Here I am. Y'all can testify to that, right? She'd stick me in a tub on Saturday night and use that wash rag like a drill press from one ear to the other. And I'd carry on and cry, why do I have to do this? Well, you need to get clean. I said, but mom, I'm 17 years old. This is ridiculous. You know why they did what they were playing the long game. They weren't just thinking about their 13-year-old goof-off son. They were thinking, our son is going to be a man someday. And when he is, we want a sense of responsibility. We want some appreciation for the truth. We want a good citizen, a good father, a good husband. We want to play the long game. What we do now is for future reference. Their desire for me to be my best was of more concern to them than my temporary comfort. But today, all we care about is someone's temporary comfort. We don't care where they are a week from now, as long as they're comfortable today. Look where that's led us. God's hand, all through my life, pruning, providing, and pruning. Here's the third thought. God's hand is protection. He's kept some things away from me. I know that he has. Look at our key verse again. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. You see that? Pharaoh thinks, I got a strong grip on these people, and I ain't ever letting go. Then what happens? A mightier hand comes along, takes him right out of his hand. Isn't that cool? Satan does the same thing with us. I got him in my grip. Depression, addiction, hopelessness. I got him right here. And it feels like he's got you until a mightier hand comes along. A mighty hand. He'll let you go because this hand is more mighty. Listen, your father is stronger than your Pharaoh, right? Your father is stronger than your Pharaoh, keeping things at bay. I think every school has a bully. I was talking to my oldest grandson yesterday, and we were kind of talking about this. He's talked to me. He's 11 now. He talked to me yesterday more than he has since he's been born. It was kind of cool. And we had a little bit of private time, which was cool, but I got a picture of Cooper. There, he's 3 years old over here, and he's 11 now. And when he was three, I went to visit him, and he lived in Harrison, Ohio. That's when he was my only grandchild. I got four now. And by the way, the middle one, Hudson, with the red hair, he's going to be me, and I'm worried for him. They came to visit, and we walked to Magic Morning. I've only been to Magic Morning three times since I moved to Bedford 14 years ago. But that place is yummy, mercy sakes. But I think you put on 5 pounds just smelling that stuff. So we took him to Magic Morning. Hudson was, he's like, what do they call that store, Poppy? Magic Morning. So we go in there, and I let him order whatever they want. He gets the most messy icing kind of stuff you can get. And we're all talking, and he's got it all over his face, all over his hands. He's got a little bit in his hair right here. And I said, hey, dude, I said, you liking that? And he says, I'm having a magical morning. They need to use him as a promo. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Magical morning. So anyway, Cooper was three, and so I drive to his house to visit him. I get out of the car, I walk in, and the first thing he says, not hi, Poppy, I miss you, I love you, you're a great Poppy. No. Poppy, I'm hungry. First thing out of his mouth. All right, dude, what do you want? McDonald's, number three. He was already locked and loaded. I said, all right, I'm assuming that's the chicken nugget meal because that's all you eat, and it was. So I go to the McDonald's, which is about 5 minutes from their house, and my phone rings right as I'm getting in the drive-thru, and it's my daughter's number, and it's Cooper on the phone. And he said, hey, Poppy, I forgot to tell you, supersize it. I like that because that's how I am. I don't want regular. I don't want normal. I want you to make it as big as you possibly can. We get so used to normal life and normal work and normal church and normal everything. I think God sometimes steps to the balcony of heaven, shouts down, hey, why don't you supersize me every now and then? I'm bigger than your problem. I'm bigger than what's holding you back. My hand is mightier than yours. So I was talking to Coop about school bullies. He said they don't have one, at least yet. Well, we did. You know who the bully is in the fifth grade at Pleasant Elementary because it's the guy who looks like he's 20 and has gray in his beard already. And I was an easy target for two reasons. I was scrawny and I had thick glasses. And our school bully was an equal opportunity beater-upper. He didn't care. And I seemed to be his favorite target. And I know why. You all have trouble believing this. I didn't have the biggest biceps, but I've always had the biggest mouth. I didn't take any pictures of him. I should have. But I found one of him. This is Dale Duke from Bennington right here. We got a picture. Bill, pull it up. There he is right there. That'll scare you when you're in the fifth grade. It was always just punching on me. And I told my dad about it. And it wasn't one of those sissy boy, go tell your dad kind of things. I was to the point where I just wanted to punch him in the face. And I told my dad, yeah, try that. See how that works. So, And he did. He gave me that speech. That's basically what he said. He said, man, you hit first. Okay. That'll get you killed. That didn't work at all. And one day, I didn't ask him to, but he had to take me to school. I don't know if I missed the bus or what, but he takes me to school, and there's Dale Duke. He's the bully. He's standing there, and he's loaded for me already. I can tell. And he's kind of walking toward me. What I didn't know was that my dad had gotten out of the car and was standing behind me. And all of a sudden, Dale Duke turned around, went the other way. So I look and I see my dad there, and all of a sudden I'm getting kind of cocky, you know? And my mouth got me in trouble. Direct quote. That's right, come get some now. Where you going, you ugly moose? Fight's over here. And I felt pretty confident because my dad was standing there. I was probably 20 before my mouth joined the rest of me and became a Christian. You know what I'm saying? And when I realized my dad was there, all of a sudden the fight wasn't mine anymore. It belonged to my father. Now, there was a problem because my father got in the car and left, and Dale beat me half to death. But for that one moment of shining glory, it was awesome. And it reminds me of something that David said when he fought the school bully named Goliath. He said, the battle belongs to the Lord. Isn't that good? Even though Pharaoh has them in his grip, there's another hand, and it's mighty. And 10 plagues later, Pharaoh let them go. Now, Moses should have been very well aware of this hand, because when he was a baby, he was put in a basket and launched out in the Nile River, and somehow that basket floated all the way to the princess's palace, skipping the crocodiles and everything else that might want that baby. And how in the world did it make its way from where it was set out to where it ended? I'll tell you how. A mighty hand guiding it all the way. I've never had trouble trusting the hand of the Lord. I really haven't. It's our hands that I wonder about. And I thought, well, how am I going to tie this sermon together? Well, all you got to do is read on. Exodus 4:2, the Lord turns this around. Then the Lord said to Moses, what's that in your hand? A staff, he replied. And then verses 3 through 6, pull that up, Bill, the next scripture. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. That's his staff. Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Proper response, I say. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand. Take it by the tail. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Then the Lord said, put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, the skin was leprous. It had become as white as snow. This is an important point for all those who believe that everything that happens is the will of God. Let me bring some clarity, and then we'll close. There's nothing that God can't do. I believe that. But there are some things that God won't do. Some things in your life need deliverance, but some things need discipline. And God, his hands are active. What about yours? That's what it comes down to. I mean, God will let you use your hand to get a spoonful of ice cream, or he'll let you use your hand to lift some weights, but it's in your hands at that point, right? God provided for the church to help us with our walk with Christ. He's done all of that, but he will never force you to be a part of the church. That's in your hands now. God sent Jesus to die for me, and he stretched out his arms, and he took the nails, and he bled for my forgiveness and my salvation. But God won't force that salvation on me. Why? Because it's not in his hands now. It's in mine. It's in my hands now. Lee Williams was an elderly gentleman. I started with an elderly gal, Helen. I'll end with Lee. He latched on to me years ago and became such an influence in my life. He taught me a song once. I don't really remember the tune, which is rare for me, but I do remember the lyrics, at least part of the chorus. It said, when the Savior reached down for me, he had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or his Son when he reached down his hand for me. So I confided in Lee because I had a personal issue going on, and I didn't share with too many people. But I shared it with him because he was a good old dude who cared about me. And he got colon cancer, and he was in the hospital for several weeks. So I go to visit him, and I walk in, and I prayed with him, and I looked inside his hand. He had something written in the palm of his hand. It was my name. He had written it with a marker. I said, dude, why'd you do that? He's like, well, I've been praying for you, and I wanted to make sure that I would not forget every day to pray for you. So I put your name right there. Thank you. And then he said to me, he said, Mark, God's got this because God's got you. And he reminded me of Isaiah 49:16. God says, I have written your name on the palms of my hands. That took me back to Helen. still remember her saying, Mark, God's got his hand on you. Listen, whatever it is in your life that feels like it's out of control, I want you to know this morning, God's got this because God's got you. And do you know where God's got you? He's got you right in the palm. Right in the palm of his hands. Mighty, mighty hands.